Wow.
Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here. Great to have you with us. On today's show, we are going to have Hatcher Wrestling coaches Bob Guru and Dane Borkhardt stop by to talk about the start of the season. Plus, Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game will talk Brewers, including Jackson Chourio's extension. And I'll also make my NFL Week 15 predictions later on. But first, we're going to begin in Green Bay. Here we go. Okay. Lots to unpack here with this Packer game. There are a lot of fans that are upset about what happened Monday night. Packers losing to the Giants at New York 24-22 to a quarterback who's an undrafted free agent named Tommy DeVito, who honestly looked like the second coming of Lamar Jackson. Here's the thing, all right? That was one of the ugliest performances Green Bay has put on this season. And I want to put this into perspective. This was a bad game. And I think that the way that Green Bay played over the last 5 weeks, we should have seen this coming because this is a young team. This is the youngest team in the NFL. Again, this is the youngest offense in the NFL. Again. But we had to have seen it coming. I thought that it would come maybe against Tampa Bay or Minnesota. They lose to one of those teams, or heck, even if they lost to the Chiefs last week and ended up beating the Giants this week, you could just sit back and say, hey, you know what? That's okay. Listen, I know that Jordan Love was without Aaron Jones and Christian Watson, but he succeeded before in worse scenarios. Now, again, they were against the Bears and the Saints, and the Saints obviously are still fighting for a division title. I don't know how. And the Bears are, for some reason, one game out of the playoff spot. The NFL as a whole just went incredibly berserk this week. You had so many upsets, so many teams, and again, a lot of quarterbacks getting hurt and switching in. You had the Vikings winning game 3-0. But this is, I think, the most shocking result of the season so far. When they lost to Atlanta, you thought, and you know what? Atlanta's still a decent team. They got a couple of good running backs, regardless of what you may think. And then when they went on that long losing streak, it was kind of like, well, here we go again. And losing to Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh has a good defense. Their offense is challenged, especially now with Kenny Pickett out. But this was, I think, the most perplexing loss. And listen, here's my thing. Matt LaFleur, I think he called arguably his best game against Kansas City last week. This was one of his worst called games, I think, in his career. And I don't really think it's even close. I was reminded last night, and this goes to, and I'll go ahead and try and explain this. There's a meme out there, and I know that everyone is very familiar with it. One of my favorite shows growing up as a kid was SpongeBob SquarePants. You know, the yellow square with the suit, you know, with the suit for the square pants, obviously. And there's one particular episode where he and essentially the main characters dress up as superheroes. And SpongeBob ends up being the Quickster. And there's a scene called, you want to see me run to that rocking back? You want to see me do it again? That's how Matt LaFleur was. I counted at least 8 reverses and jet sweeps that involved Jaden Reed last night in some sort of way. That's way too many. You had to get everybody else involved. And I'm going to go to Joe Barry again. And I know that I've taken the slander back a little bit because the Packers' pass defense and their scoring defense has been good, even though their run defense has been terrible this year. Because I was thinking to myself, well, Joe Barry is at least keeping this within 17 to 21 points. He's making these games winnable. Last night was not a shining moment. That is the fourth time this year that the Green Bay Packers have given up 200 yards rushing. You can understand it against Detroit. You can understand it against Pittsburgh, even with Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. You can even understand it against Atlanta with Arthur Smith not using Bijan Robinson now while he was using him and Tyler Algier also in week 2. You can't explain this against the Giants, not against an undrafted rookie. Saquon Barkley, Very talented kid. He's been in and out of the lineup with injuries for pretty much the last three seasons. But this is inexcusable. You can't allow Tommy DeVito to run wild and throw the ball all over you in this kind of game. Key performers from last night. Love, 25 of 39, 218 yards, a touchdown and a pick. Jaden Reed at 12 touches for 65 yards and a score. Three turnovers. You had the Love fumble that was inside the 25. Obviously, he should have held onto the ball. I think that was a good play call, just poorly executed. The interception, I don't know what happened. I don't know if he tried to lead Wicks or if there was a miscommunication, if he was hit while throwing the ball. I don't know who to blame with that. And then, obviously, the Nixon fumble that set up a giant touchdown in the third quarter. Malik Heath, give him credit, he got his first NFL touchdown that honestly should have won the game, and then Green Bay's defense went into Joe Barry mode and gave up a 60-plus yard drive to Danny DeVito that ultimately sealed the game. And I tweeted this out after the loss on Monday night, late Monday night before I went to bed. You know, I've been having trouble sleeping. So I tweeted this out before I went to bed, and this is what I quoted. Too many mistakes, too predictable with the play calling, too many timely defensive lapses. The Packers are now one of five teams that are 6-7. Bad games happen, but this was bad timing. Three of the final four games are against playoff contending teams. Fix it now. Now, you may think I'm being harsh, but you know what? I think that that's honestly understandable because that was a game that I thought Green Bay should have won. Clearly, they should have won. But now this makes these next four games even more of a must win. They've got Tampa coming up. The Buccaneers are currently first in the NFC South. I don't know how, but they're first in the NFC South. If Green Bay does not beat Tampa Bay, they are not making the playoffs. The Packers still have the number 7 seed. They have a 50% chance now of getting into the postseason. Again, they are one of five teams that are 6-7 in the NFC. I don't know how they're currently in the 7th spot, but they have to win this game. There are two must-win games coming up in the next four. Tampa Bay this Sunday and at Minnesota on New Year's Eve. In between that, you got Carolina at home. You got Carolina on the road. I think Green Bay will win that game. But again, it's not a cakewalk by any stretch of the imagination. Then after that, you got Chicago to end the season. I'll be there at Lambeau covering the game. And we're going to have the broadcast of that game for you on WJJQ. Green Bay does need to fix it. Now, I'll close by saying this, though. The fact that the Packers are lost and are still in the number 7 spot is a good sign. Because the Rams lost. The Saints ended up getting in. The Falcons lost. Again, there are a bunch of teams that are 6-7. Two teams that are 5-8 are still in the mix. That's the Giants and the Bears. All Green Bay needs to do from here on out is win. Again, my expectations for this team were 6 or 7 wins and contend for a playoff spot. They're now in that spot. They could very easily either get to 10 or finish at 6-11. It really depends on how the season goes. Let's see what we have in store. Coming up after the break, we'll sit down with Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game to talk about the Brewers signing Jackson Chourio to a big extension. And also coming up later, I'll have hatchet highlights from last night's boys basketball victory over White Lake in overtime. That's next on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods, you're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
Make it a warm holiday season with a Carrier Home Comfort System from Hilge's LP Gas. Carrier makes one of the most efficient heating systems rated by Energy Star, so make sure you're prepared for our Northwoods winter with your new Carrier furnace. And for a healthier home, add the Infinity Air Purifier with advanced filter that can capture and kill select viruses and bacteria. And no matter what your home comfort needs may be, you can count on Carrier and Hilge's to keep you comfortable. Carrier, turn to the experts at Hilge's LP Gas, South Tomahawk Avenue. Call Hilge's at 453-3505. And happy holidays from Hilge's.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this Wednesday evening. And we have our very special guest back on the air for us in the Sports Q from 97.3 The Game. Obviously, you know him as the former sports director for WJJQ, executive producer Hunter Baumgart. Hunter, welcome back to the show once again.
Yes, great to be back with you, Alex. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and jump right into this here. Obviously, you cover the Brewers extensively. Obviously, Jackson Chourios signed the largest contract in history for someone who has yet to play in the majors. It's an 8-year, $82 million contract. Let me first start off by asking, what was your initial reaction to this?
A little surprised. This is definitely not, you know, not always what the Brewers do. Obviously, spending money is, you know, I think a lot of people get on this organization sometimes for not spending money, not signing guys to long-term deals. You watch players over the year go to other teams, you know, like a Prince Fielder or some of those guys. But I think it surprised me in the fact that they signed a guy to a long-term deal. However, the unsurprising thing, and I think the really smart thing, is it's a really good deal when it comes to the Milwaukee Brewers in general, because this is how you got to win. If you're Milwaukee and you're a small market team, and we just saw Ohtani sign the crazy deal that he did.
Yes.
The weekend, we can get into that in a little while too, because that's wild.
Yeah.
But you look at what Jackson Chourios and the Brewers did with this deal, and it's exactly what the Brewers should be doing. If they believe in a guy young, they should sign him early, 19 years old, get him for the next, you know, 8 to 10 years, and see, you know, if he turns into what people are comparing him to in Ronald Acuña Jr. in Atlanta, you're going to get him on an absolute bargain for the next 8 years, or six, seven, eight, what, you know, until maybe it goes up to $25 million or whatever at the end of the deal. But it doesn't, that's way far down the road. You can get his prime in cheap dollars, and I think that is so important for the Milwaukee Brewers and how they function as an organization, as a small market team. It's not just Mark Ignacio, it's not just ownership, it's how baseball works, it's how the TV revenue sharing works, it's how all that works, leads to Milwaukee not having as much money as, say, the Dodgers. So how
right.
do you combat that? Well, you sign guys like this, if you believe in a guy, and especially a guy who's had those comparisons to some of the best in the game right now. This is a great deal for the Brewers, and I think it's smart by Chourios as well, kind of betting on, basically, let's not even, you know, put this down the road. Let's get the money, let's sign the deal, and then see if, you know, I could be a Milwaukee Brewer if I'm Jackson Chourios for a very long time, and I think it's smart, you know, smart on both sides.
You know, looking at this particular deal here, Hunter, as we're talking with Hunter Bumgarner from 97.3 The Game, what do you think this means for the Brewers' future?
Well, I think it's a sign that Chourios is a big part of their future. I think we've been watching him in, whether it's single A, double A, and then a few games in triple A. The future is really now with him. I didn't necessarily think that he'd break camp with the Brewers next year, but now that he signed this contract, it eliminates the idea of service time. And if they brought him up, you know, opening day next year, say he didn't sign this contract and they put him on the opening day roster, they'd have to pay him a little more. Because of the service time clock, you know, down the road, now that they signed into this long-term deal, that all gets eliminated. They can put him on that opening day roster if they want to, and I expect him to be on the opening day roster now. Now, you're going to have a guy who turns 20, I think, in February or March. I think mid-March is his birthday. He's going to turn 20, and he's going to be in the majors. But you look at a guy like Ronald Acuña Jr. who did that.
Yeah.
And was, you know, was rookie of the year and top 15 in MVP voting that year, hit .293 in his rookie year, 26 homers. Like, if he can do anything close to that, the Brewers are going to be in great shape, and it's going to be so worth it for the Brewers. They're paying him a couple of million dollars this season. So I think what it says for the future of the Brewers is, the future is now with these young guys.
Yep.
It's time to bring this core up. We saw it with Mitchell and Frelick and Weimer and Terang and countless guys last year. Now
yes.
it's time for Chourios to make that step as well. And even though he's played only six games in AAA, he could only play six games in AAA for his career if he's put on that opening day roster. Now, will they send him back down? It's possible. It's possible he comes in if he's absolutely, he just cannot hit the ball at major league level in April. Who knows? Maybe he goes back in May and June. But I got to think, with what they're paying him and what they believe in him, they're going to ride him out and just see when he can catch on. And it might be quick, it might be a little while, but either way, I think it says they're ready for a Chourios in the major league.
Hunter, you and I talked last time we were on the air about this Brewers outfield being crowded. Now with Chourios signing this long contract extension, you've got Yelich, you've got Weimer, you've got Frelick, you've got Mitchell, and now you've got Chourios. You have a lot of youth, and then you also have the crafty veteran in Yelich who you've signed to a long-term contract. My question for you is, do you think you could see a trade involving any of the outfielders this season, or do you think the Brewers will stand pat with where they have?
you know, if the crowd is right, it's a great problem to have because you have a lot of young guys who I think have bright futures ahead of them. Do I think that Mitchell, Frelick, Weimer, and Churiel are going to spend the next 5 years in the Brewers organization? I don't know. I feel like they're going to part ways with one of them, trying to get something back, whether it's in a Corbin Burns deal. Maybe it's if you trade Corbin Burns, you throw in a Joey Weimer. The thing is about this is we saw a bunch of Joey Weimer last year. We saw him all the way basically till August when he was sent down. And so he's at the bottom of that totem pole right now because the hype of Churiel, I know he hasn't had one major league at bat yet, so you know, we don't know exactly what he's going to be in the majors yet. But and then you have Mitchell, who we've seen, you know, we saw come on 2 years ago at the end of the season, and then a little bit to start last season, and then unfortunately he had the injury. Frelick obviously came on, you know, guns a-blazing last year in July, August, and September, and it put together some good at-bats. So Weimer kind of fell to that you know, bottom rung on the pole, if you will. And so the fact that that's the case, I feel like he could be the most likely traded. That's what if I were to have an opinion, I don't want them to part with Mitchell. I don't want them to part with Frelick. Obviously, they won't part with Churiel now. And I think if there's a guy who's going to be traded in that, I think it's Joey Weimer. Now, could they go into spring training and the regular season with all those guys? Absolutely, because this organization, and we'll see if Pat Murphy's philosophy is different than Council, but Council always played different guys, right? He would play, you know, the Blake Perkins of the world and the Brian Anderson in right field. And it was partly because of injury, but also it was because they like to have different matchups. So having all those guys on the roster is definitely not out of the question because you have, obviously, you need more than three outfielders on the roster. You can't just have three. You can't just have Yelich, Mitchell, and Frelick. So if you have Yelich, Mitchell, Frelick, Weimer, Churiel, and maybe a Blake Perkins or, you know, another signing or something, okay. And then it becomes, okay, well, if that's the case, you know, who's starting, right? I think that's maybe the bigger question rather than who's going to be in the organization, because I think it's likely that they all come to camp together. But then it becomes, okay, so now we're in camp, now we're in the regular season, who's going to be playing? And then a lot of these things, as crowded as it is, a lot of these things tend to play themselves out. We saw that a little already last year with Joey Weimer. We were like, oh my gosh, they have all these guys coming up, Mitchell and Frelick and Weimer, and what are they going to do with Yelich and you know, all that, and Churiel's still coming up and all that. Well, Weimer played himself almost to the bottom of the bottom of that. So that I feel like we're going to have another one of those situations probably this year, whether someone takes a huge leap, which we're hoping, maybe they all take big leaps, but usually those things tend to play themselves out, and then it becomes clear who you move on from, you know, who you package in a trade with.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good problem to have, but I think it could play itself out this year on the field.
Again, talking here with Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game. And Hunter, you just mentioned it also, Corbin Burns and Willy Adames, with the Brewers going through this youth movement. These are the two veterans that are now, I guess you could say, on the proverbial trade block, even though they're not officially. What are you hearing on potential trades from those two players, if anything?
Well, it sounds like Corbin Burns is going to stay. I mean, from what Scott Boras has said, his agent, from what Matt Arnold has said, and Bob Nightingale's report, you know, one of the biggest baseball writers from the USA Today, it sounds like Corbin Burns, the Brewers are going to try to compete this year with Corbin Burns as their ace. I mean, it's just that, I mean, it's surprising. I thought if Council goes, then maybe you go into a full transition mode here, but look, I mean, this organization's in a spot where you already played. If you're going to talk, okay, Council's gone, we're going to have a transition, we're going to, you know, quote, do a reload or a rebuild. Well, you're already into that with how many young guys you played last year, and you not only competed, but you won a division, you won 92 games. So that being said, you're not, you know, it's not like this is going to be a completely different team next year.
No.
How valuable Craig Council is, we'll obviously see. But you have his predecessor, his right-hand man who's going to be leading the club. And then you have a lot of the guys coming back. And your big loss is Brandon Woodruff right now, right? If you look at that, if you look at the team as a whole, your big loss is Brandon Woodruff. You have your bullpen coming back. You have a lot of most of your position players coming back. The corner infield is where you have to focus if you're a free agent. Rowdy Tellez just signed with the Pirates last night. He's gone. So you look at the corner infield positions, and if you can, you know, if it's Tyler Black, if it's the young guy at third base, if it's Jake Bowers, who I don't necessarily want as my everyday first baseman from the Yankees, I don't know if we want that. But I think they go out and they try to get a first baseman. Maybe you play Tyler Black. And it's a youth movement, yes, but it's a youth movement that can compete because we saw it compete last year. And I know Woodruff is a big loss, but also Woodruff was gone for a lot of the year last year. So this is a very similar team the last season, and it's a team that won 92 games. So if I'm the Brewers, and I'm like, well, you know what? We won 92 games with Corbin Burns as our ace and Peralta as our two and the rest of that rotation and how well they pitched and Miley coming back. And I don't know. Maybe it's a different, you know, kind of seeing this, and I'm kind of seeing this in a different light, saying maybe they can compete for a title, and the Cubs didn't get Ohtani, and the Cubs haven't made any huge, you know, signing yet as far as players go. Obviously, they got Council, but other than that, and the Cardinals are obviously trying to bolster their rotation, but they're bolstering their rotation with guys who are kind of on the back ends of their career. So
yes.
I don't know how good that's necessarily, right? I mean, Sonny Gray and Kyle Gibson from the Orioles, and, you know, I don't know how well that's going to work. And Lance Lynn, you know, guys that, you know, as good as Sonny Gray can be and Kyle Gibson, sure, they could have lights out years, but I don't know how all that goes. So, and obviously, they're talented, too. So, I don't know. Maybe this team can compete. The risk you play, though, is with Corbin Burns. If you keep Corbin Burns and you don't get anything for him after next season as a free agent, then obviously you didn't reload any farm system or major league talent with Corbin Burns. Maybe you see how the first couple months go, and maybe you trade him at the trade deadline. That, I think, is the most likely option right now. See how the first couple months go, and then maybe you trade him before July 31st.
Again, Hunter Bumgarne from 97.3 The Game. Jackson Chourio signing the largest contract in the history for someone who is yet to play in the majors, an 8-year, $82 million contract. Hunter, thank you very much for joining me. Be sure to keep us in the loop about any potential news for the Brewers this offseason.
Absolutely, will do. Thanks, Alex.
Yep, absolutely. Hunter Bumgarne from 97.3 The Game. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of the Sports Cue right after this on WJJQ.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods. This is the Sports Cue on WJJQ.
Get on board at Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboards serves their fantastic menu selections from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Stop on by for happy hour from 2 until 5, Monday through Thursday. Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk, features their Friday fish fry with cod, walleye, shrimp, and catch of the day. It's Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Get on board.
We all have hopes, dreams, and goals for ourselves and our family. This is Rich Teggy with Wealth Strategy Group. Financial goals are no different than any other goal. It all starts with a plan. We know the importance of a solid financial plan focused on what's most important to you. We listen and take the time to understand your vision and create a strategy to pursue your specific dreams and goals. We would appreciate the opportunity to discuss your goals, understand your financial situation, and create a plan tailored to reaching your desired retirement lifestyle. Wealth Strategy Group is here to provide the assistance you need. Call us today at 453-0722 or access us on the web at wsginvest.com or stop by our office on North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA SIPC.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you. Before we go into CBS News, let's quickly go over the scores from the NFL last week. And we had a lot of upsets, needless to say. First off, Thursday night, New England over Pittsburgh, 21-18. Bears over the Lions, 28-13. Jets over the Texans, 30-6. Cleveland over Jacksonville, 31-27. New Orleans over Carolina, 28-6. Tampa Bay over Atlanta, 29-25. Cincinnati over Indianapolis, 34-14. Baltimore winning on a walk-off punt return in overtime over the Rams, 37-31. Vikings knocking off the Raiders in one of the lowest-scoring games in NFL history, 3-0. First time an NFL game has been that low since 2007. San Francisco over Seattle, 28-16. Denver over the Chargers, 24-7. Buffalo over Kansas City, 20-17. Dallas annihilating Philadelphia, 33-13. Tennessee coming back to upset Miami 28-27, and the Giants over the Packers 24-22. Again, Washington and Arizona will off. We're off this past week. We'll have our Week 15 predictions coming up towards the end of the show here on WJJQ. Also, with our boys' basketball highlights from the overtime win over White Lake, we'll go ahead and move those on to the end of the show, so we'll go ahead and end with those. Taking a look at college bowl games, bowling is getting underway this weekend. Hard to believe that the college football season is almost coming to an end, and we've got a few for you to kick off. First off, the first day of bowl play will be this Saturday. The Myrtle Beach Bowl between Georgia Southern and Ohio will kick off. That'll be on Saturday at 10. New Orleans Bowl will be Jacksonville State and Louisiana at 1:15 on Saturday. Miami, Ohio, and Appalachian State at 2:30 for the Cure Bowl. The New Mexico Bowl between, shocking, New Mexico State and Fresno State. That'll be at 4:45. The LA Bowl between UCLA, again surprising, and Boise State will be at 6:30. And the Independence Bowl will be between Cal and Texas Tech. That'll be at 8:15 on Saturday. On Monday, it'll be the famous Toastery Bowl between Western Kentucky and Old Dominion. That'll be at 1:30. And on Tuesday, it'll be the Frisco Bowl between UTSA and Marshall. That will get underway at 8 o'clock. So, again, bowl season is pretty much underway. And the teams that are in the college football playoff this year, number one is Michigan, number two, Washington, number three, Texas, and number four, Alabama. Both of those college football playoff semifinals will take place on New Year's Day. The Rose Bowl will be Alabama and Michigan, which will be a really good one. And I'm excited for the Sugar Bowl as well. Texas and Washington should be a fun end to the college football season. That's all coming up for bowl season. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Coming up on the other side of CBS News and weather, we are going to sit down. We got two Hatchet wrestling coaches in the house for today. Dane Borkart and John Lipinski will sit down to talk about the beginning of the season, and we'll also preview the wrestling quad coming up this Thursday in Medford and the girls wrestling tournament, their first invite at Southern Door on Friday. That's all coming up on the second half of the Sports Q. Plus, I'll be making my NFL Week 15 predictions, and I will also, again, give you hatchet highlights from the boys' win over White Lake in overtime. That's all coming up here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. It is 26 degrees and dusk here in the Northwoods, and it's now time for our latest update from CBS News.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks, and we are following breaking news from Capitol Hill.
On this vote, the yeas are 221 and the nays are 212. The resolution is adopted.
The House just passed a resolution formalizing an impeachment inquiry into President Biden. CBS's Scott McFarlane is there.
They've been alleging for nearly 11 months that there are foreign business dealings involving the president's son that they believe may have entangled the president himself and enriched the president himself. The White House and Democrats here have kicked back hard, saying you've been investigating for 11 months, but there's no evidence of that.
The resolution, however, does provide a stronger foundation for a wider investigation. Meantime, President Biden's son Hunter made some rare comments on Capitol Hill today after skipping a private deposition by a House committee ahead of this vote. More on that from CBS's Natalie Brand.
Hunter Biden insisted he will only testify in a public hearing, not behind closed doors as the committee requested.
I'm here. I'm ready.
Republicans pushed back.
We expect to depose the president's son, and then we will be more than happy to have a public hearing with him.
Interest rates will remain unchanged to cap off the year, which drove the Dow to record highs today. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
As recession fears have eased and it has become clearer that companies can make money even with interest rates at these levels and the job market remains solid, stocks have staged a comeback in 2023.
The Federal Reserve says cuts are coming in the new year. Tough day for the Israeli military today in Gaza. CBS's Robert Berger reports from Jerusalem.
Israel suffered one of the heaviest single-day losses of the war when 9 soldiers were killed in a Hamas ambush in Gaza City. The casualties were from an elite unit and included a colonel and a battalion commander.
Troops are still engaged in heavy fighting with Hamas in and around Gaza City more than 6 weeks after attacks in Israel. Today, a 28-year-old man faces murder charges in Detroit for allegedly killing a synagogue leader. Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy.
There are no facts to suggest that this defendant knew Ms. Walls, and there are certainly no facts to suggest that this was a hate crime.
But it did happen 2 weeks after the war started in the Middle East. A fear of illness could bring early death, CBS's Allison Keyes explains.
A large study finds that people suffering from hypochondria, an excessive fear of serious illness, tend to die earlier than those who aren't so fussed about their health. The Swedish study finds that those suffering from what is now known as illness anxiety disorder are 4 times more likely to die from suicide.
Easier said than done, but experts are encouraging those people to relax. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
It's easy to think all money managers are pretty much the same, but at Fisher Investments, we're clearly different.
Different how? You sell high commission investment products, right?
No, Fisher Investments doesn't sell any commission-based investment products.
Well, you must earn commissions on trades.
Nope, never at Fisher. We're a fiduciary, obligated to act in our client's best interest. It's the highest standard of care for a financial advisor.
How do you know what's in their best interest?
We get to know our clients and then tailor a portfolio based on their goals and needs.
But you probably sneak in some hidden and layered fees.
No, we have one transparent management fee structured so we do better when our clients do better.
Wow, you really do look out for your clients.
That's because our top priority is helping them achieve a comfortable retirement. It might be why most of our clients come from other money managers. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
Happy birthday, Taylor Swift. She turns 34 today and has a gift for fans.
We're about to go on a little adventure together, and that adventure is going to span 17 years of music.
Swift's Eras Tour movie began streaming today. To keep things fresh, it includes three bonus songs, Wildest Dreams, The Archer, and Long Live. And you won't have to search far and wide to find it. It's available on Apple TV, Vudu, Amazon Prime, YouTube, and Xfinity, which includes a playlist of karaoke versions. You can rent the movie for 48 hours for $19.89. Her Eras Tour resumes in February in Tokyo. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
You know, after you watch that, you can catch the year's best meteor shower, the Geminids. Astronomers say meteors will reach their frenzy tomorrow, but tonight could be a spectacle too. Prime viewing will be anywhere with clear skies and away from light pollution. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
WJJQ Radio Sports Time, 6:05 p.m. And a good Wednesday evening. You're tuned into the Sports Queue here on WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. We will hear from Hatchet Coaches John Rapinski and Dane Borkhardt coming up after the break. Here is your weather forecast.
The forecast for the Northwoods, temperatures falling to 20 degrees overnight with the winds out of the southwest at 10 miles per hour. However, the good news is we'll be mostly clear, which will give us perfect stargazing views of the Gemini meteor shower. This is a rare one, as you may see green streaks across the sky tonight. Peak is expected at 2 a.m. This meteor is from an asteroid. Check it out. And tomorrow will be mostly sunny, breezy, and much warmer. In fact, highs will strike 44 degrees. And for Friday, a high of 40, but cloudy skies and rain moving in late in the day. Could even turn to wet snow overnight with accumulations by Saturday. I'm WJJQ. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Welcome back to the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you. Great to have you along. And we have a couple of Hatchet wrestling coaches in the house for today. We have, in place of Bob Guru, we have John Rapinski and we have Dane Borkhardt. Gentlemen, welcome to the show and thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go ahead and get right into this here. You guys have had a couple of weeks under your belts. Let me ask you first off, how has the team looked to begin the season? John, we'll start with you.
Really amazing. They're working their tails off. They've been nothing but hardworking, fighting through injuries, fighting through all the things that come up. We're not shy about working hard, that's for sure, and they rise to the occasion every time we ask.
Dane, I'll go ahead and ask you this next question here. You had your first invitational over the weekend in Crandon. You finished 7th out of 20 teams total. What did you think of your team's performance this past Saturday?
I was really happy with how they performed. Having a younger team, it was nice to be able to see how they would wrestle the first time in a tournament setting. And we were surprised to see that a lot of our kids were very aggressive. They were very... they went out there with a purpose. They wrestled really well. We saw a lot of good things that happened. Obviously, we still have things we need to work on, but we were very happy with this first showing and how they performed overall.
Again, talking here with Hatchet Wrestling Coaches John Rapinski and Dane Borkhardt on the Sports Queue here on WJJQ. John, I'll give you this next question. Why don't you give me an underclassman or two that you think has taken a big step forward so far to begin the season?
I'll do one from the boys and one from the girls.
Of course.
I think the boys' side, Xander Zaner's really stepped up. I'm really, really impressed with him. And I'm going to throw Connor Jones into that, too. He's never wrestled before this year, and in the tournament this weekend, he looked like a wrestler. He did a great job. Super fantastic. I think of the girls that are on the team, we have Elise Gibo that's really stepping up. She's learning at a really fast pace. Of course, they have great partners up there. The girls are wrestling really well, and they're all doing such a fantastic job. This is basically from square zero, and they look like seasoned professionals at times.
Of course, girls wrestling, as you mentioned, has come back to Tomahawk this year. I want to get both your guys' perspectives. Let me know, because I haven't really seen girls wrestling all that much. Let me know what it's like coaching girls, you know, what's different from them. Is there, you know, something that you could do with them that you couldn't do with the boys in the past? What is it like coaching girls wrestling this year? John, I'll start with you.
Well, one of the things that I think that we have under our belts here in Tomahawk is Alyssa Lampe kind of broke ground for the girls a long time ago. And she was the first girl that ever reached the finals of a boys' sport in U.S. history. So she broke a lot of barriers. And we've been recruiting girls for quite some time to join the team with little success. I mean, I think the last time we had quite a few girls was probably 5 or 6 years ago, where we had 3 or 4 girls on the team. And you know, I think one of the things for them has been they don't want to wrestle boys. And Coach Grew and the rest of the staff sat down and talked, can we make this work? Is there a way to make this work? And we've come up with a plan to let the girls practice with each other, and they wrestle girls, and on part of our JV team, and they've been doing just such a phenomenal job.
Dane?
Yeah, I can say that coaching them, it's not too much different than how you would coach normally. You just give them your expectations, how you want them to perform these different moves, techniques, how you want them to learn and to work hard. And when you set those expectations, I mean, these girls that we have, they rise to those expectations. They do everything that you ask them to, and they have such a good attitude doing it. It's really no different when we jump around coaching between, you know, the different practices. There's really no change whatsoever in how you'd go about it. So
again, talking here with John Rapinski and Dane Borkhardt, couple wrestling coaches here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. Dane, I'll also give you this next one here. What do you think as a team is the biggest thing you need to improve on as you start to head into the middle part of the season?
I personally would like to see kind of our mindset shift to be more. What I like to see in wrestling is to be more on the aggressive side, be more offensive minded, looking to score points, looking to score takedowns, taking our shots, getting up in matches early, and not having to worry about it. I feel like as we progress through the season, we'll continue to work on that mindset, because I think that's a very successful one to have. And obviously when we have a younger group, we want to kind of instill that in them so that they can use that and they can find success in it later on in their careers. But so far, I'm really happy with where we are. But, I mean, that would just be great to see moving forward.
All right, and the final question that I have for both of you. You first, let's talk about the next boys wrestling matchup. You got a quad coming up down in Medford. Medford obviously has been at the top of the class in terms of wrestling here in this conference. John, I'll start with you. What are you looking for in this particular meet tomorrow?
No fear. No fear, absolutely none. And so far, what I will tell you that we have seen out of our kids, especially the younger ones, our upperclassmen already have that mindset, but the younger ones, the especially this freshman group, has shown us they fear nobody, and I think that's the big key for us.
Dane?
Yep, I just want to see them go out, wrestle to the best of their abilities where we are at this point. Like I said, have that mindset. You're going out there, you work hard all season long up to this point. Make it count for something. You know, don't sit there and have that pride that you have the work that you put in up to this point. Have it show out on that mat. Have good results because of it.
And then obviously the girls wrestling season, they begin obviously coming up this Friday. They travel all the way to Southern Door for their first meet of the season this Friday. I'll go in and go with you, John. What are you going to be looking for from the girls? Same thing?
No, actually it'll be a little different. For the girls, I'm going to be looking at are they retaining the information that we've been sharing? Are the drills paying off? Do we need to work on their aggression? What things are can we improve on after we see this first meet? There's just a lot of unknowns right now. None of these girls have stepped on a mat before. This is the first time for all of them. So there's just so many unknowns. All I can go off of is what we've seen in practice, and they've been really aggressive. They are hardworking. My goodness, they're second to none. They'll do anything that you ask, and they'll do it with a smile. I couldn't be prouder of the work that these girls do, and I'm really excited to see it pay off on Friday for them. I will tell you this. I do believe we will win matches.
That is good to hear. Dane?
Yeah, I'm just excited to see them. I want to see them go there. I want to see them have fun when they wrestle. Have fun, enjoy the sport, see what it's all about. You know, they're going to be new to this. I want to see them see the success or see what it feels like and just really end up enjoying it, walking off that mat at the end of a match.
That's wonderful. Gentlemen, do you have anything that you would like to add before we wrap things up here?
I just want to say thanks to the community for all the support we've gotten over the years. We're really a lucky town to have, or a lucky school to have the town that supports us in the way that they do. We appreciate everything that everyone in town, all the businesses that they do to help keep us going strong. And just come out and support us at the meets, and let's have a great season. Let's have fun.
Absolutely. Dane?
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better. Just super grateful for all the opportunities we've been given here. So,
absolutely. Again, next Boys Wrestling Quad will be coming up tomorrow. It's with Medford, Mosinee, and Rhinelander. That will begin at 6:30. And then Friday is the very first girls' meet of the season in Southern Door. That will begin at 4 o'clock this Friday. John Rapinski, Dane Borkhart, gentlemen, thank you very much for coming in. I very much appreciate it. Excited to see what the team holds this season.
Thank you so much for having us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll be right back with my NFL Week 15 predictions after this on WJJQ.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Cube on WJJQ.
For the last 26 years, Heritage Chevrolet has asked you to fill the need for the benefit of the Tomahawk and Tacoma's food pantries. Go to heritagechev.com and click on the Fill the Need link. Make a monetary donation to the food pantry of your choice. You will then be given the opportunity to enter a drawing for one of the prizes contributed by one of our local merchants. Alternatively, you can drop your check payable to either food pantry at Heritage Chevrolet. Please note that food donations are not being received at the dealership. This year's prizes include from Lincoln County Cycles, a Cub Cadet 1X21 snowblower, from Bethel Excavating, $500 in Tomahawk Chamber Bucks, 10 yards of topsoil delivered locally, 10 yards of road gravel delivered locally, from Mingman Service, a Toro self-propelled lawnmower, from Tomahawk Sports Center, a Ski-Doo snowmobile jacket,
a holiday basket from the Cheese Shop, a $50 gift card to Herbs, a $50 gift card from Hewitt's Meat, Two $25 gift certificates from Holly's. Two $25 gift certificates from Hometown Feed Mill. From the Cracker Barrel, two $25 gift certificates. And from Napa, two $25 gift cards.
This year's drawing will be held live on WJJQ on Thursday, December the 21st at 2:15 p.m. Fill the Need is co-sponsored by WJJQ Radio, Creative on Nokomis, and Wisconsin Chevy Dealers. Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Robin Muir Electrical Contracting is a factory-authorized Generac dealer with over 40 years of experience. So call to get a quote and schedule your Generac generator install or service upgrade now, as well as other electrical needs. Our schedule is filling up. Both Robin and his son Nicholas are state-licensed certified master electricians with no restrictions. Robin Muir Electrical Contracting, your local Tomahawk electrician. Call today at 715-966-4397.
Come to Little Chicago and put a bow on your shopping with a new vehicle for yourself during the Wrap Up the Year sales event. Get 0% for 72 months on remaining new 2023 Ram 1500 models. To qualify consumers during the Wrap Up the New Year sales event and no payments for 90 days. The new 2023 Jeep Gladiator is the gift that keeps giving. Navigate the worst winter roads fun in the summer with the top down and very capable for your off-road adventures. Now get 15% off MSRP off sport models. Finish your Christmas shopping with time to spare with the awesome power of our in-stock new 2024 Ram TRX, the 1500 with the famous Hellcat engine. Shop our incoming new Ram 2023 heavy-duty trucks built to work or to pull fun whenever fun takes you with 10% off MSRP along with new 2024 Ram heavy duties in stock, $3,000 in rebates. Merry Christmas from our family at Brickner Motors of Little Chicago, minutes away from Merrill, Wausau, and Medford.
For over 50 years, Tomahawk Sports Center has proudly served our Northwoods communities. And during this holiday season, Mike and the Tomahawk Sports Center family want to wish all their customers and many friends a very Merry Christmas. They really appreciate your business over the years. They look forward to an exciting snowmobile season. So stop by and check out the inventory if you're looking for a new machine. And the selection of Skidoo, Castle, and Tubi clothing for Christmas time is great. Tomahawk Sports Center is located at 693 North 4th in Tomahawk, right at the lights. Call 453-5373 online at TomahawkSportsCenter.com.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Great to have you along here on this Wednesday evening. And now it's time to get into our Week 15 NFL prediction, shall we? Let's jump right in. All right, again, I went 5-10 last week. Let's see if I can do better this week. Chargers and Raiders to kick off the week on Thursday night. This is going to be a matchup of two mediocre AFC West teams. Chargers have shut down Justin Herbert for the season. They're going to start Easton Stick, fifth-round pick from 2019 out of North Dakota State, a quarterback. I'm going to take the Raiders to win. I think that they will make a couple of big plays, and I think they get the dub 21-20. Cincinnati and Minnesota. Nick Mullins getting the start for the Minnesota Vikings against Jake Browning and the Bengals. Again, the Bengals are going to be without Joe Burrow. This is going to be a very intriguing game. I'm going to take the Bengals to win, but I do think it'll go all the way down to the wire. I think Cincinnati wins 24-23. By the way, the next three games are going to be on Saturday. So Cincinnati, Minnesota, this one, Indianapolis and Pittsburgh. Not sure if Kenny Pickett's going to go for the Steelers. Gardner Minshew, again, back in the starting lineup for the Colts. I think Indianapolis will win this game. They disappointed me against Cincinnati. I don't think it'll happen 2 weeks in a row. I think they win 21-17. And then the final Saturday game is on Saturday night as Detroit takes on the Denver Broncos. And this is my first upset of the week.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
I'm going to take the Broncos to knock off the Lions. I think the Lions have fallen off a little bit, especially after losing to the Bears and the Packers over the last few weeks. I'm going to take Denver to win 24-17. First Sunday game, Packers and the Buccaneers. Again, both teams fighting for playoff spots. Tampa Bay fighting for a division title. Green Bay, meanwhile, is fighting for their playoff lives. I'm going to take Green Bay for this reason. Baker Mayfield is Tampa Bay's starting quarterback. He's got two touchdowns and six interceptions in two starts at Lambeau Field over the last couple of years. Green Bay over Tampa 24-20. The New Orleans Saints at home against the New York Giants.
All hail the New York Giants.
New York Giants!
I think it's going to be the Saints. I think the Giants' ride is going to just fall down and collapse here. I got the Saints winning 27-21. Miami taking on the New York Jets. Unsure of the status of Tyreek Hill for the Dolphins. Again, they shocked me a little bit with them losing to Tennessee, but I think that they'll bounce back and knock off the Jets 24-14. But again, it's a divisional game. Anything can go. Houston and Tennessee going toe-to-toe. C.J. Stroud unsure of his status. Davis Mills may get the start if Stroud is unable to go. I'm going to go with the Texans, though, in this game. I'm going to operate under the assumption that Stroud will play, and I think they'll knock the Titans out of playoff contention. I think the final score will be 20-19. Atlanta taking on Carolina in what arguably is the worst division in the NFL so far this season. I'm going to take the Falcons, though, to win 21-14. I don't think that they will lose to the Panthers. Chicago and Cleveland, bit of an intriguing matchup. Joe Flacco is going to be getting the start for the Browns. Bears have won a couple of straight. I don't think they'll make it three. I got Cleveland winning at home 28-21. Kansas City and New England flexed out of the Monday night game into a noon slot. Nothing really much to say here. It sounds like Bill Belichick will be let go after this season. I'm going to go with the Chiefs to win 27-17. NFC West showdown in Arizona, 49ers over Cardinals. I got San Francisco winning this one 35-14. Brock Purdy, I think, will make a few big plays. Arizona, I think, is playing hard, but I don't think that they will play well enough to beat San Francisco. Rams at home against the Commanders. Again, the Rams also fighting for their playoff lives at 6-7. Again, there are a lot of teams that are like middling around that 500 mark. I am going to take the Rams to win this game. I think that Washington will lose. I think they'll get knocked out of playoff contention later on this season. And I think the Rams win 28-24. It will go down to Matt Stafford making a few more plays than Sam Howell, in my opinion. We got a nationally televised game for you in Buffalo as the Buffalo Bills get set to take on the Dallas Cowboys. This is going to be an intriguing matchup. I'm excited to see Dallas really impress me with their victory over Philadelphia last week. My big thing is, can they keep it up? That is really what it boils down to. I don't think they'll pass San Francisco for the number two slot, but right now they look like the second best team in the NFC. You can make the argument second best team in the NFL. I think them and the Ravens are 2A and 2B. You could go either way. I'm going to take the Cowboys to knock off the Bills. I think that it'll be a close game. It'll go down to the wire, and Dallas will knock off Buffalo 31-30. Baltimore and Jacksonville going toe-to-toe. Hobble Trevor Lawrence against a healthy Lamar Jackson. I think that even with Trevor Lawrence 100% healthy, it won't be enough. I think Baltimore knocks off Jacksonville 27-26. I do think it'll go down to the wire. And finally, our Monday Night Football game of the week is Philadelphia at Seattle. Seattle again fighting for their lives. Philadelphia looking to bounce back after having a couple of tough losses. Now let me go ahead and before we wrap this up, we got three games that are going to be broadcast this week. Packers-Buccaneers coming up Sunday at noon here on WJJQ. Yours truly will be there covering the game. Baltimore and Jacksonville on Sunday night, and this one, Philadelphia and Seattle on Monday night. I got the Eagles knocking off the Seahawks 24-21. I think Seattle will be eliminated from playoff contention within the next couple of weeks. Those are my NFL Week 15 predictions on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'll be back to wrap things up after this.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Happy holidays from all your friends at Premier Heating and Cooling, your local Lennox dealer. Make plans now to replace that old furnace with a quality Lennox model. It will give you peace of mind for many years to come. Featuring the most cost-efficient and quietest heating systems you can buy, Lennox Furnaces offers industry-leading efficiencies that can help save hundreds of dollars in utility cost every year. Call Premier today and enjoy the confidence in knowing that your Lennox furnace is ready for our Northwoods winter. Get all the information about Dave Lennox Signature Collection with a furnace just right for your heating needs. Explore the power of Lennox furnaces. Lennox innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County Road A, Tomahawk. Call 453-4700. Wishing you a warm and cozy, happy holiday season.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grantland invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hour is Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
We're proud of our history as a century-old Wisconsin institution. Hi, I'm Sue from Crossbridge Community Bank. We stay true to the simple, community-based ideals of a mutual bank that exists to serve its people. That is true for our business customers as well. We want to provide you with everything your business needs to grow and flourish. Stop in to either our Merrill or Tomahawk locations and see what makes Crossbridge Community Bank different from the others. Maybe it's time to make the switch. A bank that puts purpose first. What's your purpose? Let us help you realize it. Visit crossbridge.bank to find out more.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. Lows level off around 19 tonight under mainly clear skies, southwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 43. Lows level off around 29 tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
Come on, come on, choose.
This is Stephanie Ahrens, Doctor of Physical Therapy at Health and Motion in Tomahawk. Health and Motion is a therapist-owned outpatient clinic with 8 locations in northern Wisconsin. Our skilled providers treat a wide variety of musculoskeletal conditions, post-surgical cases, vertigo, jaw pain, and many more. Here at Health in Motion, we value our one-on-one time with patients using treatments backed by research and cutting-edge technology to get our patients better faster and with greater satisfaction. Give us a call to schedule an evaluation or a complimentary 15-minute screen with one of our therapists. Majority of the time, we can get you scheduled within 48 hours. Simply call 453-6650 or look at our website, himwi.com.
So come on!
Cold weather season is here, so make sure your vehicle is as dependable as your car dealer. For 39 years, Gary at the Auto House has been getting generations of his customers ready for winter driving with quality vehicles, and right now is a great time to stop at the Auto House of Tomahawk and check out their inventory with the best selection of vehicles in the area. Cars, trucks, SUVs, there's over 40 units to choose from, and if you don't see your car on the lot, just ask Gary and he'll do his best to find the vehicle that you're looking for. The Auto House in Tomahawk features an ASC-certified technician if your vehicle needs repair work. And remember, if you ever need a rental vehicle, the Auto House rents vehicles too, and that's what you call doing business the right way. The Auto House is on North 4th Street in Tomahawk and online at autohousecars.net. That's AUTOHAUS cars.net. That's the Auto House, North 4th in Tomahawk.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you. It's 6:29 and about ready to wrap things up. So let's go ahead and get into our final countdown. All right, taking a look at Hatchet events coming up this week. First off, we have Hatchet Hockey coming up against Mosinee. Fairmont Orthodontics radio pregame show at 6:35 tomorrow. We've got puck dropping at 7 o'clock. Zach Garner and I will be in the broadcast booth. Also, Hatchet Boys Wrestling, as you just heard from John Rapinski and Dane Borkhart. Thank you very much to those gentlemen for joining the show. Boys Wrestling coming up at 6:30 for a quad down in Medford. Hatchet Boys Swim also against Shawano tomorrow. That'll be at 5:30. On Friday, Hatchet Girls Wrestling with their first meet of the season as they travel to Southern Door. That begins at 4. Hatchet Boys Wrestling with a triangular at Amherst. That'll begin at 5:30. Hatchet JV and Varsity Girls and Boys Basketball taking on Rhinelander. Girls on the road. Boys will be at home. JV tip-off 5:45, varsity tip-off 7:15. Tara, Tim, and I will have the broadcast of the boys' game for you here on WJJQ Friday night. And coming up on Tuesday, Hatchet Boys Wrestling with a triangular up in Ashland. That'll begin at 7 o'clock. And JV and varsity boys and girls basketball taking on Lakeland. Boys will be on the road, girls will be at home. JV tip-off is at 5:45, varsity tips-off at 7:15 for both days. Thank you very much for joining into the Sports Q here on WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Coming up next week, we're going to have Hatchet Hockey coach Dewey Riley on to talk about the season and how well the team's doing. And we'll have a brand new guest. Be sure to stay tuned for the promo to figure out who that is. That's all coming up next week here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. To go ahead and wrap things up, we're going to play some highlights from the Hatchet boys basketball victory. Their first win of the season as they knocked off White Lake in overtime 55-52 behind a 29-point effort from Brody Rigney. That's all coming up next to wrap things up. In the meantime, thank you very much for joining me on tonight's program. Hope you have a great Wednesday and have a sport-tacular week. I'll hear you next week. Hey-ya! Gentlemen, my name is Alex Cook. Great to have you with us here, coming to you from back at the Hatchet House in Tomahawk. And we have a pinch hitter in the color commentary side for tonight. Terry Tim, he is off reffing the 7th and 8th grade game, so stepping up to the plate. Matt Tyler, Matt, welcome to the Hatchet House.
Thanks, Alex. Good to be here tonight.
Now inbound pass to Scheffler to Rigney. Back, Scheffler, three ball, corner pocket. You got it, Malachi Scheffler for three. 27-16, Hatchets get their first points of the second half.
Most dangerous guy on the floor is the guy taking the ball out of bounds.
There you
forget
go.
About him.
Scheffler over to Rigney. Rigney to answer with a three. No good. Rebound, Sundquist. Sundquist looking. Turnaround jumper is good. Tyler Sundquist with a rebound. Put back 27-18. Five straight for the Hatchets. Here comes Colton Seslar for Tomahawk. Seslar looks to operate. Swings it to Weathers. Weathers fakes three. He stops. Pulls up from just inside the arc. And banks it in off the glass. Bank shot for Jordan Weathers. It's 27-20. Tomahawk now has scored seven straight. Ein will inbound, tries to get it into Rigney, and does. Rigney to Weathers, top of the key. He'll try a three. That one no good. Rebound, Sundquist. Sundquist fighting his way through defenders, goes up and lays it in. Tyler Sundquist with the bucket. It's now 29-22, 10-21 to go. Can the Hatchets get a stop here defensively? And now here comes Wickersheim. He's guarded by Ein. Wickersheim blows by Ein, gets it over to Blawant. Blawant back inside. Wickersheim goes up his shot. Blocked from behind by Ethan Ein. Boy, Tomahawk's defense has been good here over these last couple of minutes. Rigney looking, swings it. Ein, open look for three. Got it! Ethan Ein from downtown. It's a four-point game. 9:04 to go here. Timeout call by White Lake. They're going to want to talk it over. Seslar fakes pass one way, swings it to Rigney. He's got an open look. Now fakes, pulls up, 15-footer, got it! Rudy Rigney with the jumper. It's 31-27, 7:48 to go here in Tomahawk. Good hustle there that time from Sleeper. Here comes Tomahawk back the other way with Seslar. Seslar going to the right. Now swings at Rigney. Driving in left side on Wickersheim. Fakes. Turnaround jumper. Got it, Brody Rigney. It's a two-point game back here in Tomahawk. 5:20 to go.
That was a tough shot. It depends right now. We'll see if White Lake's going to be real deliberate on the offensive side, which yeah. I think it's too early to do that.
Oh, Rigney comes up with a steal. Rigney driving down the lane on Blawant. He goes up. Left-handed layup. Good. And a foul. Brody Rigney to the line for one more. Here comes Massa into the corner. Ein inside to Sleeper. Sleeper fakes. Turn around. Right hand hook. Good. We're tied. Easton Sleeper ties it with his first bucket of the night at 36. 4:12 to go.
Great little hook shot there.
Rigney drives inside. Kicks it back. Massa. Massa. Garnett pulls up. His jumper too strong. Offensive rebound. Ein kicks it back. Seslar fakes the three. Drives. Goes up. Right hand floater. Good. Tomahawk reclaims the lead. Colton Seslar with his first points, 41-39. Oh, if you're Tomahawk, get the ball into the hands of your best player, Brody Rigney, right here. Here comes Seslar across the midcourt line. Looking, gets it over. Sundquist hands it off. Rigney from way downtown. Kaboom! Brody Rigney for three. Two-point Hatchet lead, 2:09 to go.
Good call, Alex.
Wow. Sundquist gets it into Seslar. Got to get going. 4 seconds left. Long pass taken away by Krejcik. Krejcik scooped up Wickersheim at the buzzer. No. Overtime in Tomahawk. Wow. Boy, Wickersheim was able to get a shot off that nearly went in. It was online, but just a little bit to the left. And ladies and gentlemen, we got OT in the Hatchet House tonight. Comes Rigney across the midcourt line. Rigney crosses over, looking, drives inside, jump stops. His layup is good. That's one way to make a statement. Brody Rigney with 22, a career high. Now to Rigney. Rigney drives, kick, Sundquist. He's going to drive inside, goes up, his jumper off the glass and in. Tyler Sundquist with 6, 49-48, 2:36 to go in overtime. Here comes Rigney. Rigney crossing over. Drives inside. He stops at the free throw line. Pulls up. Gives Tomahawk the lead. 50-49, 1:19 to go here in this one. Brody Rigney with 24.
He's really a good ball player.
Yes, he is. 31 for Wickersheim. 21 seconds now. All Tomahawk can do, they can wind the clock down. Rigney driving inside. Pulls up. Free throw line jumper. Good! Brody Rigney again! 12 seconds left. Brody Rigney with 27. His first free throw is good. It rattles in. Brody Rigney now with 28. Again, he just keeps adding to his career high. Now, what do you do about the second one?
I think you make it, but don't let Wickersheim catch the ball.
Exactly. Wickersheim is in the backcourt here. Rigney, his second free throw is good. No timeouts left for White Lake. Blawant, bad pass. That's going to go out of bounds. Ball game. Tomahawk wins it. 55-52. The Hatchets knock off the Lakers in overtime for their first win of the season. A tremendous performance by Brody Rigney in the second half in overtime with 29 points, a career high.
You've been listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community right here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk.